Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD, a new Jam That Champion, DAD JTJ.
Oh, it feels good to be the champion once again. Hello, Oliver Davis, and a hello to you, Swap Nation. How the devil are you?
Tired. But what, like, have you felt any other improvement? I know it's a work, right? It's all kayfabe. But when you hold the belt,
yeah,
it does. There is, you feel good.
I feel pretty good about it, particularly because Pete was so sad. and that somehow makes it feel better.
Yeah. Well, it's a mark of how much he worked himself into a shoot.
Well, here's the thing. So, like, Pete was quite visibly sad. And that genuinely made me feel quite bad. Because I don't think Pete thought that it was fair for me to jam in my Jam in the Jar contract.
Jam ain't fair.
Well, jam ain't fair. You're absolutely right on that one. It's what everyone says these days. So I get that. And he did genuinely look quite upset about it. And that made me feel bad. So I hope that I never win the Jam in the Jar again and have to jam it in on Pete. Because it's quite sad to take something off of him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where he got the idea from that wasn't how
so
the jar.
I know how this happened.
Okay.
So what happened was Pete was champion when the Jam in the Jar was created, and we set up the rule that anyone can, the winner can jam it in on any main event, and they can predict the match, and that overrides it.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete said, "Well, that's not fair because you can just pick Roman Reigns, and you'll always get, and you're guaranteed to win."
Well, like, and much like the actual Money in the Bank briefcase.
That was the argument that we made, was that, well, like the actual Money in the Bank briefcase, it gives you almost an unfair advantage. Mm. So we then talked about the possibility of you can't jam it in, and you can jam it in, but you have to pick the opposite of what the champion's already picked for that main event.
Mm.
But that just meant that Pete always picked Roman. So Pete himself was unfairly working the system so that no one would ever jam it in on him.
You see, what I don't get is what would happen if someone else was in the match. I thought that's where we were having the trouble. You know, like, yeah, if it was me versus Pete and you came in and you're like, well, I'm picking Roman now, does that mean Pete also has Big E along with me, say, in this example?
Well, we hadn't actually quite worked that out at that point. Really, what we should
have
done,
what I thought was the sticking point. That's when you were like, well, I'll jam it in now. And I was like, that works.
No, the sticking point was Pete thought it would only work fair if you pick the person that hasn't already been predicted.
Yeah.
But then Pete just always picked Roman, which always guaranteed that he was going to keep on winning.
Funny that.
So
funny how he wanted the rule that would keep him champion.
That benefited him the most. do you know who I like, though? I like...
Oh.
Sean Minot, who says, a five-star podcast would be
nice.
Seven in the Tokyo Dome. The AEW reviews are my favorite. That was left on Thursday.
A new review.
FS2 Trappy, I honestly love the days after shows to hear what you guys have to say. Helped me reignite my love for wrestling while at uni. Thanks, lads. Thumbs up emoji. Five stars. That was left on Friday. And then on Saturday by Broken Andy Barser, the most consistent content you could ever ask for. Keep up the fine work. Shrimp emoji, cowboy hat emoji, and whiskey emoji.
I forgot about the gimmick we used to do where we read out every single emoji.
Oh, yeah.
And then people thought it would be funny to leave like 100 different emojis.
Particularly flag emojis, because we didn't know what the flags were.
Oh, yeah. Flag in hell. So we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Is that where they stop?
That's where they stop.
Yeah. We could have had a run.
None on Sunday, I'm afraid.
The streak! The streak currently stands at 3 days.
Well, oh, that's good. That gives a bit of incentive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For future ones. Speaking of future things, you didn't lose Wrestle League.
No, very happy about that.
Laurie, in fact, lost Wrestle League.
Well, there is some debate right now over who really came last.
Oh, yeah?
Have you not seen this in the office chat?
I just saw that I won.
Yeah, and then you were like, I'm out. Yeah, boom.
I won Wrestle League. Boom. How amazing.
So let me...
Is Laurie saying that he didn't lose?
So the final Wrestle League standings, and this isn't like official locked off forever.
No, because Pete is the person that does the Wrestle League standing. So Pete can go through it with a fine tooth comb and make sure that everything makes sense.
Yeah, like, and a lot of these, there's small margins between them. So like a recount could be demanded. So this is done by Andy. Luke, with 48 correct predictions since SummerSlam.
That's right.
Well earned. Pete, 47.
Good run by Pete.
Not only did you beat him for the championship.
Via Jam in the Jar, because I did lose 5-2 in the actual like prediction score. Survivor Series is not my event.
I was just about to say, though. Like, you know when people say, but the history books will record a win for Luke. I was like... But the history books also do count the method in which they won it.
Yeah.
So I hate that saying.
So I don't know if you've seen this, actually. A Twitter account has been started that's keeping track of like the championship like and the ways that they were won, the events they were won at and stuff. And when they posted that I won despite losing 5-2, a lot of people were like, yeah, well, how does that work? And
Jam.
You go like, oh, it's the Jam in the Jar. And I guess a lot of people didn't see the Money in the Bank show, so you have no idea what that... And we didn't really bring it up a lot on shows.
No, you have to sit through hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of content to get maybe a few mentions of that stip. Yeah.
Like I had it at Summer Jam because I announced my kid via that one.
Jammer Slam. Jammer Jam.
But that was pretty much the last time it's been mentioned.
Yeah.
A bit like, you know, like the manservant thing. You know,
what are you talking about? That's been
you went on holiday for a week and Pete went on holiday for a week and then you just kept forgetting to wear the bow tie.
Yeah.
And Pete just sort of stopped asking you to do things.
There were a few bits that we did. Anyway.
So Pete came second.
Of course, that means because you came first, you will get to choose your, I guess, challenger.
Challenger for Royal Jamble.
But you might not be champion for Royal Jamble.
Why not?
Oh, no, you will be.
I will. That's the
you
next time. I basically get like a minimum 60-day run because I'm not defending the belt until the end of January.
Pete got 47. Andy got 46, tied with the Blomps at 46. Ollie, 44. Laurie, 43. Here's where it gets interesting. Tempest, 42, did not submit Survivor Jam's predictions.
Well, that's his own fault.
In the past, we have been like, oh, okay, you know, what would you have predicted? I would be surprised if he got nothing right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say
so. But he also did not submit. So Laurie's like, well, you know, Tempest is just... this is a quote. I don't know. Tempest is just as much as an on-screen person as I am.
I mean, actually, you know what? He's not wrong there.
Pete, update. Tempest sent me his predictions just after the deadline. He finished on 45.
What did Laurie have to say about that?
Well, can I put in my missing predictions then?
But it wasn't after... He did it before the show. What Laurie is saying, and I don't know if I believe this, Laurie is saying that the only reason he lost wrestling,
yes,
and I'm doing for podcasters, I'm doing massive Bucky O'Hare, is he didn't submit his predictions for Full Gear. Mm. Then it turns out he did submit his predictions for Full Gear, but he didn't do, like, he missed a couple of them off or something. I think Laurie just lost this league, but is now looking for reasons as to why he lost the league.
I think he's got to take the L.
I think he's got to take the L for Laurie on this one.
Chiefly because I don't want to do another one.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's either you, Laurie, or Tempest. Yeah. I think in this scenario, it's probably Laurie.
Well, it wouldn't be Tempest because he finished on 45.
Yeah. And you beat Laurie.
I beat Laurie, yeah. But everyone saw the predictions made on the Survivor Jams predictions.
You certainly did. Laurie knew what was on... Laurie knew the stakes there and then.
Oh, I'm so happy.
You did your prediction, your losers video today. Oh my God, we'll talk about that in the outro because we...
you probably won't.
Because we've got 4 minutes until the end of the show. Here is the podcast. Here it is.
Austin Theory is in the main event of Raw now because he found an egg. Actually, he didn't even find an egg. He stole the egg.
Ah, oh, okay. Well, this is a bit of a point of contention, isn't it? He didn't steal the egg. So what happened was, according to Austin Theory, what happened was, we'll get into the show itself in a second, he took a selfie with the egg and then security were coming into the room and so he panicked and left with it. He took it by...
Stole the egg.
Because he didn't... He took it by accident.
Stole the egg. Taking something by accident.
Yeah, that's apparently what happened.
I hear taking something by accident and then not returning it. That's a steal.
Okay, well, but, you know.
I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD, and also your new Jam That Jampion. This is the Raw Review Podcast. It's broken our brain a bit, but what can help me with just an insane fury at wrestling? I know. How about some sponsor cam? Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. We are sponsored by beer. Thank you very much, Beer52. If you live in the UK, you can get 10 free craft beers delivered straight to your door just for the price of £5.95, which is postage and packaging. We've been sponsored by Beer52 for years. Luke was a subscriber to Beer52 long before they approached us. They're a fantastic service. They help you appreciate beer. This is fancy beer. It will expand your palate. And then you get a little snack, a little magazine. It's fantastic. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. We'll talk about it more in the break. Well, I'll go through my favorite thing at the moment, the egg. I was so excited for the egg. I legit woke up this morning. Actually, if you haven't seen Survivor Series, Vince McMahon made his return. He had a $100 million egg. Someone stole the egg. That was the big hook coming into tonight's episode of Raw. Yes, that was the main storyline coming in. So we open tonight's episode of Raw. Vince is like, where's the egg? He threatens to fire Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. And it starts a night-long storyline where pretty much exclusively the undercard and Kevin Owens are looking for this egg.
Yeah.
Because whoever finds the egg gets a shot at the WWE Championship tonight.
Yeah, so I am... Were you disappointed by all of this?
I was disappointed.
Same here, because I thought, it's Vince McMahon. It's a storyline, it's a whodunit. Vince loves a whodunit. I really thought this would be something a bit more.
And we're not saying good.
No.
I did not want it to be good. I wanted it to be stupidly ridiculous.
So I said this on the Survivor Series post show that Adam and I did, which is that when Vince's back is against the wall and ratings are low, he goes back to what he knows best, which is big, muscly men, women in skimpy clothes, heel authority figures.
Oh, yeah.
A whodunit, because he loves like a mystery, like, oh, you've got to tune into Raw to find out this, that, and the other.
Kind of soap opera-y.
Exactly. And Vince McMahon as an on-screen character.
And people called Austin.
Perhaps, indeed. There's number six. So I said to him, I was like, oh, that's what this is. And it's quite great because I'm really looking forward to this. It's the first time I've actually been interested in watching Raw before Raw has started this year.
In a car crash way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought it would be really, really fun. What I hadn't anticipated, though, is this isn't a ratings thing. This is just more of the brand integration.
Yeah.
And the reason why this was a two-night brand integration thing, I was listening to Fightful about this. Apparently, Netflix have paid seven figures for this sponsorship spot.
It's weird, isn't it? Because you thought The Rock. I thought that this would be more of a favor or something for The Rock, but it's not.
According to Andrew Zarian, he was supposed to be at Survivor Series.
Like, oh, really?
The discussion was earlier this year that he was going to be a part of Survivor Series because it's the anniversary of The Rock. It's going to be sponsored by The Rock's movie. The Rock is going to be there. Mm. And then The Rock no-show. Well, not in no-show. He basically said in September, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be there now.
So I guess because
they held a party and the guest of honor didn't show up.
Like the production of movies takes precedent way over WWE
100%.
Events.
Even promotion for his own movie.
And shifting production schedules. Well, but rightfully so, because the production of a movie costs millions and millions of dollars, sometimes in a day, and like tiny delays really rack up costs. So with everything else that's been going on, oh no, production's been moved back to November. Ah, but I'm doing Survivor Series. No, you're not. Fair enough.
Yeah. So Netflix paid, reportedly, seven figures for this sponsorship deal.
And that's not even counting the extra 9 figures for the egg.
Apparently so, yeah. So that's
it's the real one.
That's why we got this two-night. But like, this show really did present that the only important thing coming out of Survivor Series was this egg. So I told you this earlier. My kid's not sleeping well at the moment. I had a kid, by the way. So I watched this show live. Let me tell you, this show's impossible to watch live. Oh my God, it's so boring.
Did it help the baby get to sleep?
The baby slept fine. Like, because the baby, like, will only sleep on, like, one of me or my wife at the moment. Like, she'll sleep for a bit in the car, and then she'll get up, get really grumbly, and if you hold her, she'll fall asleep. So she fell asleep on me while watching it. Good. I don't know how anyone watches this show live.
Ad breaks,
the recaps. Oh, my God. It's so hard to watch live. It is impossibly boring.
Well, you know, the ratings hear you out.
And when it got to the second hour, I thought to myself, there's only about half an hour left of this. I was shocked when I saw it. I was like, there's an hour left of this show? Anyway, what I thought, though, when I was up at like 12:30 waiting for the show to start, I was like, excellent, because there'll be loads of Vince McMahon wackiness with the egg. Mm. There'll be loads of this throughout the show, and that'll be good. There was only 3 scenes with Vince. It was the first scene with Adam Pearce.
If you don't find my egg, then do you know what 2 words I'll say? I'll say the 2 words to you, and the 2 words will leave my mouth, and you will lose your jobs.
Have you noticed that sometimes when he does those segments as well, he loads? Like, he'll look down for a bit, and I think he's doing this for dramatic pause or emphasis, but he's doing it in the wrong moments, and he's looking the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. And so we had that one. And then we had another segment with Sami Zayn where Sami said, I know who did it.
And, well, he only said he knew who did it because he was trying to get the shot at the title.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And Vince McMahon is like, you're full of crap.
Yeah.
You're full of crap. I don't believe you.
So Sami goes away and you're like, okay, well, he's going to make something up. He's going to come back with a dummy egg.
More wacky segments.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that.
As it turns out, he actually did know who it was. It was Austin Theory, and he presented Austin Theory. Austin Theory gave the excuse I mentioned earlier, which was, I was taking a selfie with it. I accidentally left the room when the security were there, and I went back to my hotel room. Sorry, I brought it back. And Vince goes, I mean, you stole my property. I don't like when people steal my property.
$100 million egg.
But you took guts to admit that you were wrong. And I think you should have the WWE Championship shot.
And when Sami Zayn protested, being like, hey, you said I could get that, he was like, no one likes a snitch. That was the punchline, and the whole thing was over. There was nothing to do with Adam and Sonya again, nothing to do with the police. All of those...
Roman Reigns?
Nothing with Roman. All of those geeks that were running around, tripping over tables and stuff, no payoff to any of that whatsoever. And the stars of SmackDown were there. Because they had, you know, that was the whole, it was like, I want Stars of Raw and SmackDown on the show tomorrow so I can interview everything.
Mm.
I thought we were going to have so many segments of Vince interviewing wrestlers and stuff. Plenty of room for comedy and stuff.
Well, the show opened with Sonya Deville saying, oh, we've interviewed everyone, Vince. I was like, oh.
That's the bit I was excited for. So, yeah, and like, because they were there, because the seven on, they were, the dark match was a 7-on-7 tag match with all the lumberjacks. They had all the stars of Raw and SmackDown around the ring. You also had Sheamus was in the match, Cesaro, I think, was in the match.
Usos, I believe.
Usos were there. So the stars of SmackDown were there, and the only people they utilized were Sami Zayn and Jinder and Shanky to run around and be part of the job squad. That was it.
Mm.
What was the point of any of this? And it's not, it wasn't bad.
No, it was.
Just, no.
It didn't make any sense.
But we wanted it to be bad in that sort of way. Like,
yeah,
I wanted it to be wacky. But it wasn't wacky. It was just bland.
Yeah.
And when you've got Vince McMahon's had Cleopatra's egg stolen, it's worth $100 million. And at the end of it, you were like, that was a bit bland, that. How do you get to that?
It's crazy that we're sitting here talking about the missed potential of a stolen egg storyline.
Because it's the most interesting thing the show has done all year long. Apparently, according to Sean Ross Sapp, the original payoff for this was way worse than what we got.
I bet I would have enjoyed it more.
Same here.
Because this was just boring. And just like, to go back to the Sami Zayn thing when he brings Austin Theory in, it's like, it all seemed like such a setup on Sami Zayn's part. Like, oh, I found it. It's a, like, where were the segments where Sami found out it was Austin? Because he definitely did not know in the first meeting.
Yeah.
So loads of plot holes, doesn't really make any sense, but you're like, okay. Sometimes it's not about the means, it's about the ends. And Austin Theory, a new fresh face, getting a title, all that ass.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting a title shot in the main event of Raw.
And it goes 8 minutes and he loses because he gets himself distracted. I didn't like the fact that Big E won by distraction.
Yeah.
He's the WWE champion.
Yeah, so Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins came out to watch this match, and Seth tripped Big E at one point, and then Seth and KO started arguing. I like the Seth-KO Big E triangle. This was a rubbish episode of that particular story.
Yeah.
Because it was just filler. And Austin Theory, yet KO and Seth are arguing. Theory's just looking at them, and Big E hits a big ending on him. So yeah, no reason to protect Theory and defeat here, really.
I think
give him a good match.
Exactly. I mean, people have made the comparison already. Jungle Boy came off so much better in his loss to Kenny Omega for the title because Kenny Omega won clean and Jungle Boy gave him a good match and like really like had a really good showing in that main event. And your champion won clean and he just pinned him, and that was so much better than Big E winning by interference, essentially coming off the back of his loss to Roman at Survivor Series. What he needed here was a big, decisive win. And I don't think it's great. And it didn't protect Theory, because Theory looked like an absolute plum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no good for Theory. It's no good for Big E. And, you know, we all love Big E. We all love the New Day. But let's be honest here. He needs to feel more like the top champion of a brand.
Yeah.
He still doesn't. And that's not our fault. It's not so much Big E's fault because he's doing all he can, I believe. But you need to give him a series of hot feuds and matches. Like Drew McIntyre, they did a very good job with that. They gave him strong wins. He was having fantastic matches every week on Raw. But this is a far cry from that example.
So do you think that this is a main event push that will last for Austin Theory, or is it back to the mid card with you come next week?
Back to the mid card for you. It's got a lot of cushion to land on. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think this is really... It felt like it was an opportunity to add a new name into the main event scene. I don't think... I think that they thought that this protected him, like this finish protected him.
Mm.
But it really didn't. In fact, I think it made him look way worse.
I think they do see something in Austin Theory, though, 100%. Because he's one of those names that keeps bubbling up into acts. Like, they're trying to make him work.
It's his second call-up.
Yeah, but not in a way where it's... like where they tried to make Karrion Kross or Keith Lee work. Those just felt like bad ideas. They're actually treating him and his gimmick relatively well, like winning programs with Jeff Hardy and the Mysterios. Now and he's featured here.
Final two of the Survivor Series team.
Yeah.
Had a great showing at Survivor Series.
So, but no, I don't think it's going to result in a push anytime soon, but I do think he's someone they've got their eye on in the future.
Yeah. So my message to WWE for this is just book Big E stronger.
Mm.
Like, don't be giving him distraction wins over Austin Theory, of all people, who was pinned by Jeff Hardy at Survivor Series. I think Big E could have just won this match clean and it would have been fine. Also, it's a 3-hour show. This main event it could have gone longer than 8 minutes.
Mm.
And I stress again, don't watch this show live.
Don't watch this show.
If you ever get the chance to watch Raw live, don't do it.
Go to sleep.
Good Lord, it's boring.
Watch your favorite 90-minute comedy movie
twice. Oh, dude, when it got to the 90-minute mark, I did think to myself, like, I could have watched a whole movie in this time. And the pacing, watching it live, the pacing's horrific.
Here's someone making their entrance. Oh, here's an ad break. Here's a video package. Here's an interview backstage. Here's the person who's been standing in the ring for 10 minutes.
When Bianca Belair started cutting a promo, I legit swore. I was like, just get to them. Get to them wrestling already.
Oh, well, you really wanted that Tamina Belair match. Well, I was like, sit on the promo.
I didn't know it was against Tamina.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's see what you all think. WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out all of your comments over $5 USD. Not an inspiring show by the looks of things. We only had a few chats come in so far. Charles Berg says, aside from having Disney kids show villain aura, I really like Theory. Do you think he's got Disney kids show villain aura?
I guess that's the goatee that he's got.
Hmm. I hope he's used frequently. Security dropped the ball last night. I know the egg, right? They're just letting their egg get stolen. Scary. They are lucky this guy didn't have a weapon. Remember when Triple H folded a fan in half for attacking Austin? Austin Theory getting that egg? But connected with Charles Berg.
No, this is more in reference to Seth Rollins being attacked by a fan.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Don't do that, people.
We'll get into it. The Gazza Tola of Rock and Roller, Survivor Series 1990. What's in the egg? Survivor Series 2021. Where is the egg? He hasn't written why is the egg, annoyingly.
Yeah.
There better be a little golden gobbledygooker statue in that thing or I'm going to be massively disappointed.
I mean, it couldn't have been. It was Cleopatra's egg. It wasn't going to have a gobbledygooker inside. It was worth $100
million. $100
million.
A third. A third of The Rock's net worth. What I figured out. And he just gifted it to Vince McMahon. They fail on so many levels.
It's impressive, isn't it? And they got paid seven figures for this promotion because, as Stephanie McMahon told us, no one does brand integration better. Apparently, like her quote was, it's not even apparently, I know exactly what the quote was. She was talking about an NFL player. And she was like, when he scores a touchdown for the Kansas City Chiefs, he can't then promote something. He's just got to celebrate the victory. We can actually have the products that you want to advertise involved in our show.
It feels like a bunch of corporate guys in suits who think that people want to hear about the brands. And I'm aware we're about to promote Beer 52, but we love Beer 52.
But Beer 52 is a sponsor of this show, but it's not like we are after every segment. We haven't made this a storyline.
I mean, but that's not out the question.
We also haven't been paid seven figures by them, I suppose.
Yeah, Beer 52, come on. we'll freaking review the beers. Well, we're doing that anyway. Back when I shaved my head, I asked Manscaped, you know, would you be comfortable donating a prize? You know, because for the people who raise the highest money, I'll use it on the stream. That is branded integration. And they were very kind to and they did. That's a way to, I'm not saying we're the pioneers of branded integration, but it is an art form.
You can say our next quarterly investors call.
Yeah. But it's something like you've got to balance like not pissing off viewers and not making it all about the brand. It's integration. It's not like putting it front and center of everything.
I also just think that it's like, is anyone talking about Red Notice the movie? Like wrestling fans, is anyone talking about the movie or are they just talking about Vince McMahon's wacky egg storyline? In the same way,
Andy Datsun watched Red Notice last night. And you've got to think, did he do it because of the egg?
Maybe, yeah. So that's a very good one. Or did he do it because you recommended he watch it?
Yeah, he probably trying to get in my good books.
Oh, yeah. in the same way, does anyone remember the water? Like, you know, or did anyone watch Army of the Dead off the back of the zombie match at the pay-per-view?
Nick Khan, man. When he came in, I thought, well, maybe that's a good idea. You know, he's a negotiator. But I think he's been a bit of a poison for the overall, you know, the actual product and putting that secondary to, like, you're just sort of using it as a vehicle to sell products.
Yeah, I know, I'd agree with you. But also, if you're Vince McMahon, you're looking at your record profits and how much money you're currently making, and you're sitting there being like, this Nick Khan's a poison to our company.
Yeah, no,
well, you're probably looking at me like, oh my God, I'm so much more rich now. Thank you, Nick.
Well, you just see how long it lasts for. Like, it's kind of like hotshot booking in terms of wrestling.
Kind of like the three-hour thing. Three-hour thing was really good for the TV contracts, but it has made for a worse product.
We've got a cap on how much advertising we do internally because we don't want to flood everything with advertising. But yeah.
Beer52.com.
Anthony Velasquez. So many masters to serve! Anthony Velasquez. The egg implications made no sense. Why would Pierce and Sonya get fired if the egg was not returned? They didn't do anything wrong. And why would someone who stole something from Vince get a WWE title shot? You would think they would get punished.
Well, it's because he had the gumption to admit that he'd stolen it. And he had the gumption to come in and like ask for a selfie and things like that. I see a lot of myself in that man.
When did Vince steal an egg?
Oh, yeah, but Vince has stolen a lot of things over the years. Talent.
It makes total sense that he threatened to fire Pierce and Sonya. If they sneezed, he would threaten to fire them. Nicholas Lama, thank God for all those budget cuts so they could get that egg.
Now, Nicholas, it was a gift from The Rock. The Rock gave it to him as a gift. It was worth $100 million.
To argue with Nicholas, and for Nicholas, rather, Vince could have pawned the egg to pay for the talent so he didn't have to cut them.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is a very, very solid argument.
Rude thing to do to a gift, though,
isn't it? To pawn it off.
Yeah.
I wanted to save my business and save my time.
Immediately.
But if he had done that, then Becky wouldn't have had her really good line in her promo later on to Liv Morgan.
Mm. Right, let's talk about Beer 52. You ready for Sponsor Cam, folks?
Sponsor Cam is now it's ready to go.
Again, we are aware that we are being critical of WWE's branded sponsorships, and we've debuted this week. The Sponsor Cam.
My brand new brilliant gimmick. Oh,
the people love it. Yes, Sponsor Cam. Walk us through it, Luke.
It's out of me. I've got to do this here. So beer52.com/wrestletalk. Get yourself 10 free craft beers on us. An excellent, wonderful service. The good folks at Beer 52. Is there a little card in there for us?
It's an offer to introduce somebody else to Beer 52.
We're introducing lots of people to Beer 52. There is a glass for you to pour a beer out. Don't use one of the bottle ones.
No, we haven't got the bottle opener. Oh, just look, because some of the artwork's so beautiful. Oh.
This is the brilliant Sponsor Cam.
A neon stout. Look at that bad boy. All right, well, let's have a look here. What have we got? Hazy pale ale.
Oh, should we go with that?
Just seeing if there's a stouty one. Oh, coconut and tonka bean milk stout. You want that?
Well, give that a go. It's funny because when we started this show, you were like, I don't really want to drink a beer.
I know, but
now
I've
the
seen
beers are
now.
Open, you're like, let's have
oh,
a
we've,
stout.
Oh, we've lost the feed.
Hold on one second.
All right, you see that? Oh, the audio.
Satisfying.
What? So you're going to have some of this and I'm going to have it out of the can.
Oh, nice head.
Bit of head for you there. Mmm. So I think we've each got half.
Yeah.
This is the Garden Brewery.
Okay, give me a reaction.
Oh, I can taste a vanilla-y tinge. Has it got vanilla in? Coconut. Oh, but with vanilla. With vanilla. That's lovely. That's very light for a
5.5%. 5.5? Yeah.
9 malt stout base. Mmm. Beer 52, not just giving you 10 free craft beers in its opening introductory package, beer52.com/wrestletalk, but also expanding your beer tasting palate. Mm.
Another successful sponsor.
That's how you do it, WWE. You trial some of that.
Thank you, I will do.
Should we bring that bottle over to make it look nice?
Ooh, crikey, that is nice, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, you're right about that vanilla. Mm. Lovely.
I think the vanilla's getting a little bit of an accent point with the coconut. You know, they're kind of similar tastes sometimes, aren't they?
Good work.
Lovely.
BFC.com/WrestleTalk. Click the link in the video description down below or the ones being spammed by our moderators. So you can get some pretzels in there.
Okay, so this show of Raw opened up with Dolph Ziggler versus Riddle, which was...
But was it really Riddle?
Well, yeah, so backstage, Randy's like, I haven't seen Riddle since before the... since what we won at Survivor Series. It's been almost 24 hours, and I'm like... Goddamn, Riddle stole the egg. He smoked the egg.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought they would get him setting this up for a Riddle, something to do with Riddle and the egg.
Which, you know... That could have been pretty fun. If anyone can handle the goofiness of the egg, it's RK-Bro. But Riddle turns up, and I've got to admit, this was really funny.
Yeah.
He turns up dressed as Randy Orton, but with his hair tied back. So he's even got the goatee and the little tash as well.
He was also wearing... Did you notice the trunks that he was wearing? They were Drew Gulak's trunks. They said Gulak on them. Corey Graves even said at the end of the match, he can give Drew Gulak his pants back as well.
That's good.
Yeah, so he literally was... Because Randy has been saying to Riddle, you need to be more... Oops, sorry. You need to be more like me and less like you. Stop going out there and helping other baby faces. Be more like me. And so Riddle took that literally, and he was Randy Orton in this match. I mean, he wrestled most of the match like himself, because otherwise it'd have been pretty dull. But garb and stomps and rest holds. But in the end of it, he won with an RKO. And Randy Orton almost looked at this as like, you know, Randy Orton, what I like about the Orton performance is he's like, oh man, this goofball's quite annoying. But as the match goes on, he's like, oh, he's actually quite endearing.
Mm.
And then when Riddle won with an RKO, he was like, it's my boy. My boy won with my move. Then he gets in the ring and he hits Bob Roode with the bro Derek, And it was a not a great Bo Derek by any stretch of the imagination, because Randy don't like taking them bumps and he doesn't need to. But it was it was a wonderful segment.
Really, really good. You could see the camera work was quite good here because you could see Riddle hitting the RKO. Mm. But in the background, you could see Randy like properly on the apron with this huge smile on his face.
Yeah.
And up until that point, he'd been grumpy Orton, like, oh, this is stupid. So, and then they celebrated together. Compare this to other times Riddle has tried to do Randy's offense and Orton's gotten annoyed with him.
Yeah.
This was surprisingly sweet.
Yeah, I thought this was a very, very sweet mm-hmm. moment. I was a fan of this.
People hunting for the egg backstage. R-Truth has got a American football. Becky Lynch cheered like a babyface, Brooklyn. And then she goes, well, you know, boomy now, please. You people wanted women's wrestling, and we gave you boring women's wrestling on Sunday's pay-per-view, and you chanted other things.
You know, I was talking about that Ridley Scott quote just before we came in. If you haven't seen this, so Ridley Scott released a film this year called The Last Duel that was released in very few cinemas. Like my local cinema, which isn't a Cineworld, which why I don't go to it, they barely had any screenings of it. They had loads of, like, you know, the animated movies that were out at the time, but, like, The Last Duel was, like, shown on the smallest possible screen, and so, like, seating wise. So it didn't do particularly well at the box office. And Ridley Scott was on Mark Maron's podcast, and Mark Maron was like, I look like Stan Lee, why didn't your movie do very well? And Ridley Scott was, I can get the quote for you in a second if you want the direct thing, but what he said was, in Ascension, it's the millennials who were raised on mobile phones. They don't want to know history unless it's told to them by a cell phone. Ridley Scott not realizing that most millennials are in their 40s and were not raised by cell phones.
I still remember dial-up.
Well, exactly. You and I are millennials. I'm pushing 40.
I've spent more of my life without a mobile phone than I have with.
Exactly, yeah. But it's I find it quite irritating when a person blames the consumer for a bad thing.
Mm.
So, like, I made...
Well,
by all accounts,
it's pretty good.
I made a bad... Well, a lot of people also said that it was a bad movie that, you know, had a really gratuitous rape scene that people were very uncomfortable about.
Yeah, but, you know...
So what he essentially was, like, I made a bad product that you didn't want, and it's your fault that you didn't want it. And WWE essentially gaslit their audience here by saying, we did bad build for that Women's Survivor Series match and made you not care about it, and it's your fault that you didn't care about it. I'm Becky Lynch.
Yeah, that's essentially the promo, and she left. She had a much better promo backstage later on with Liv Morgan.
Yeah, I was surprised Liv didn't come out at this point here, because she was ragging on Liv.
Mm.
And Becky just came out, ran down the crowd, and then left.
Maybe it's
just rapturous applause.
It was a weirdly done segment and placement in the show, because then Bianca Belair came out and cut a promo as well. And it felt like, oh, it's odd for WWE to do the exact same visual back to back. They try and vary it up.
It's why I said when Bianca Belair has that kind of promo, oh my God, just get to some wrestling already.
So maybe it was just like some people were annoyed backstage. Let's go and vent it.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think Becky herself was like, I want to go out and cut this promo, because people were doing the Mexican wave during the Women's Day. They were chanting for AEW. They were chanting for CM Punk. They were not interested in that match. But in all fairness, they'd also had the Pizza Hut Battle Royal prior to that, which I think is still going on. So I was unsurprised that the crowd didn't like it. But it's your fault that you didn't.
I think that I can understand that behavior. I can't understand the spear on Seth Rollins.
So
Bianca Belair came out next. She talked about being the sole survivor. Funnily enough, Seth Rollins did this exact same promo next as a heel. And she took on Tamina. And I was like, for a moment, I was like, oh, am I watching last week's episode?
Oh, yeah.
No, because they're talking about Survivor Series. Tamina match, boring, KOD to win. Natty attacked her afterwards, but then Doudrop appeared and beat down Bianca Belair. So what we've got, just like how they used to book babyface Roman Reigns, oh no, no one will believe just one heel against a super strong babyface. There must be at least three people to take them on.
So do you think these are a faction now?
Yes.
But Natty's on...
Call them the welcoming committee.
Natty's on SmackDown.
What?
Yeah, Natty was drafted. They even said this on the show. So Natty was drafted to SmackDown. They broke the tag team up. And I checked today and Natty is still a part of SmackDown. She was on the SmackDown Survivor Series team.
I don't care.
So
is the problem.
I thought this would set up a six-woman tag.
Mm.
So like Belair beats Tamina and then Doudrop comes in and you do a six-woman tag with Rhea and Nikki, but they had to lose later on to Carmella and Vega, and I guess they had no other women that they could put into that. So I thought they sort of set up a six-woman and then didn't do it. I don't know if this is a faction or just it was a moment on a show. But I guess we'll see next week.
Well, they're definitely doing Doudrop Bianca. That's something that's been building for a couple of weeks.
Whether Tamina and Natty are involved, I mean, is more the case of it.
After that, we got Seth Rollins versus a crowd member. But before that, we got Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. It was meant to be a match. One of the few things I was looking forward to when they did the rundown of the matches on the card. So it didn't happen. Seth just beat up Finn before the bell because Finn interrupted his promo?
Yes. He didn't get to finish his... Because he was going, I am Seth freaking Rollins.
But yeah, it was like one word he didn't get to say.
Oh, the disrespect of Prince Balor to come out.
I like that just imagining backstage, Finn's like, no. Don't play it yet. No, play it. So he comes out and Seth beats him up everywhere. A couple of stomps in the ring as well. And then Seth's walking up the ramp. And then you don't see this on air, but there's been plenty of like videos that have come out online afterwards. This guy runs round the stage, sprinting in the same way that Seth Rollins runs out the stage at, is it WrestleMania 33 with the cash in?
31
with the cash in. And just tackles Seth. So on the actual broadcast, you just see the guy launch out of nowhere, tackle Seth to the ground. And the commentators are like, oh my God, who's this? Because they're probably thinking, oh, okay, I'll call this as a shoot because
we weren't told.
It's like a surprise angle. Maybe it's a debut thing. Let's react. But then the camera cuts to Finn Balor in the ring and everyone stops talking about it. And Finn Balor's like trying to sell while also looking down the ramp, being like, is Seth okay?
Yeah, so a fan jumped over the guardrail. He's only 24, this guy.
He was a big 24-year-old.
24, and he's jumped the guardrail and he's attacked him. He was turned over to the NYPD, who have charged him now with two accounts. One which is attempted assault, and one of them is assault of the arts or something like that. I'll get the exact wording for you.
That's strong. You know, I wouldn't call WWE the arts. Not this episode.
Yeah. Where is it? You carry on. I'll get it for you in a second.
Well, I thought this was handled incredibly professionally. I was very surprised because usually when fans jump the ring, and you can see plenty of videos like this online. In fact, coincidentally, we've got a sort of fan interaction video this Sunday, one of Adam's lists.
So it was attempted violation of arts and culture affairs.
Would not call WWE a cultural affair. But Seth sort of like caught the guy in a guillotine, which was quite good thinking. The referee was next to him, immediately sort of like laid on top of the fan. And then like a bunch of other people came out and like, as sensitively, as carefully as they could, got him away from Seth and dragged him out. Back in the day, someone would have come down, a bunch of the boys from the back probably, and just started laying it in. Like there's that, is it the Triple H Stone Cold match?
At a house show, yeah. Triple H literally gets in the ring and doubles that lad over.
Yeah. And, you know, it's annoying and it's very dangerous for the wrestlers involved. But really, they are wrestlers, and as soon as you have a handle of the situation, you should not just be then putting in shots to the backs of people's heads, which is what has happened in the past. So full credit to Seth,
oh, yeah,
who got out of this, and full credit to everyone else who trapped the fan. And Seth was right back up in a couple of seconds to get the final shot of him backing away from Finn.
Yeah, it was almost seamless, actually, really.
Yeah, very well dealt with.
In terms of how WWE handled this, it was almost seamless. Full credit to Seth here. Because I know you and I think, are the only people in the wrestling YouTube realm and Twitter sphere and everything like that who have this opinion. I think everyone else was just like, Seth should have just kicked the crap out of him.
No, it's a live TV show. This is a publicly traded company. And, you know, I know he's a heel, But children also watch this. Like, you don't want this. It's very uncomfortable. And Seth is a trained fighter. It's unfair.
It's not Seth's job to do that bit. It's the security's job to do that bit.
Totally. So the security shouldn't be beating the guy up either.
No, they should just be stopping him and dragging him away.
And then taking him to the police.
Which is what they did.
Yes.
So credit to the security, credit to WWE, and credit to Seth. I don't agree with this stance of Seth should have kicked the crap out of him, or the boys in the back should have come out and kicked the crap out of him as well, because that's not a good way to handle this situation. You made the point there. They're a publicly traded company. Mm. That could backfire. Because if he'd have hurt him, Seth had hurt the kid could have sued Seth.
Yeah.
And it would have been a whole deal. So
it'd have been like, over-the-top force in response.
Exactly, yeah. So Seth handled it the best way that he could. Mm. And I don't agree with sort of what a lot of people are, their take on all of this. I also don't agree with Chavo's take on this, where he was like, well, I remember back in my day when wrestlers were tougher than the fans. If you ask me, I think we should probably head back to those days.
Credit to the fan. Great takedown.
I mean,
he sprinted.
Yeah, I do like all the people who would jump into Seth's defense. Like, he was caught off guard. I was like, no, that fan took him down.
He was looking at the camera, like, so I can... I don't think he would have seen the guy, funny enough, even in your peripherals. But yeah,
The people as well in the chat are saying that fan couldn't have sued Seth if he hurt him. There's a reason why there's a warning that coffee is too hot in McDonald's. It's because a woman burnt herself on coffee and because she said the coffee was too hot. What's funny about that story is that everyone uses that to sort of make fun of like America's legal system. The coffee was too hot though.
Mm.
Like it was legally too hot for her to consume. But she did, which is why
drank
she
it
won.
Anyway, yeah.
So she won anyway. So like, it's in America. Easily could have sued and won.
The people who take against Undertaker's comments about the good old days when the boys carried knives and guns, I see the sort of view that wrestlers should continue to beat up fans once the situation is made safe if they run the ring. Is the same way of thinking.
Yeah.
It's an outdated way of thinking to me. I'm as angry at the fan. I'm probably angry at the security for letting it happen as well. Yeah. But at the end of the day, shouldn't be beating the crap out of people. And so, full credit to Seth and WWE for how they handled it.
Yeah, and the security for eventually getting on top of the situation. Shouldn't have let it happen in the first place, though. Mm. He's been in custody. He wasn't the only fan ejected either.
Brooklyn was rowdy.
Yeah, there was another fan. I think I didn't say this in the news because I couldn't find any like actual evidence to show this. But you know, during the Street Profits match, there was a guy that had a sign up that said Montez Ford is doo doo. I think that was the fan that was ejected. I think he was the one, he was like mouthing off to Montez Ford during the dark match, and that's what got him ejected. Mm. I think it's the same person.
Did you see the shot of obviously Michael Hayes was at the top of the ramp?
Fanny right? pack.
Yeah, But have you seen another shot of Becky Lynch being at the top of the ramp, which we didn't see on TV, just being like, you okay, Seth? Yeah. You want me to handle this?
I was going to say, probably a bit more intimidating than Michael Hayes in his bum bag.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on over here? I'll go kick that boy's ass as well.
We're backstage, Sami Zayn and Vince with the egg stuff.
Boom.
Then the Street Profits came out with a duffel bag to take on AJ Styles and Amos. You know the story. AJ Styles worked the entire match. Amos got tagged in, but here's the new twist. There was a fire extinguisher in the bag, and the baby faces just used it for the DQ.
So I've got 2 points I'd like to make on this. Mm. I'd like to give you my take on this, watching this on a live TV feed perspective. This match starts, and AJ is working it, and then the baby faces beat up AJ Styles, so he tags in Amos.
Sure.
And Amos steps over the ring. The crowd goes like, oh, Amos is in. And they're like, oh my God, Raw rolls on. Ad break.
Blue balls.
Come back from the ad break after 5 minutes. AJ Styles is resting again. You didn't see any of the stuff with Amos. And so then they had the gall to repeat the spot again, tag him in. And the crowd didn't react as much the second time round. Because of course they didn't. They've already seen it happen once. A terrible way to structure a wrestling match. One. Two, the Street Profits used a fire extinguisher on Amos. And then the commentaries were like, what a great plan by the Street Profits. They really got, they one-upped them there. And I was like, their plan was to lose?
Yeah.
How is this a good thing?
It's not as bad as Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke backing up the ramp. But it's the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah, you. The Street Profits lost, and the Commodores like got them.
And they're the baby faces.
Yeah,
totally inept booking. Carmella and Zelina Vega have an interview backstage. I hate the Zelina Vega character now. She's got an English accent. And they took on Nikki, or Mr. Superhero, and Rhea Ripley, and they beat them in 5 minutes. We've got new women's tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's again, it's terrible booking of a babyface with the... It's difficult because we criticise WWE for not telling stories, but then they've told a story here. Carmella and Zelina have been bullying Nikki for a couple of weeks now, like, haha, you're not on the Survivor Series women's team. Your partner is. You're rubbish. You're holding back Ripley. To me, like, this, what they're trying to do with Nikki, which it seems to be connecting with younger girl fans, and that looks really nice. I'm like, okay, well, you're doing this. Commit with that way of thinking. But they haven't. She lost.
Quite convincingly. Like, she... like
it was her who lost the match.
The heels were right. Like, she's rubbish. And she is holding Ripley back. I do think that this is not... I think that they will win the titles back. And it will be Nikki that gets the win. And that's kind of like the end of the storyline to prove that the heels were wrong. But it doesn't help that they were also right. Mm. Because they just convincingly beat Nikki.
Yeah, like the way to do this is either don't give Rhea and Nikki the titles already. You make this part of the initial chase, or obviously have the heels cheat.
Yes.
To beat Nikki.
Yeah, and it was the other thing as well that's kind of incredible about WWE is that Zelina Vega's from New York. This was in New York, and she came out to zero reaction, and she won the titles in her home state. And no one cares.
Well, she's doing an English accent now.
But how does that happen?
I don't know.
That she's from New York and no one cared.
Sami Zayn is backstage. This is when the Austin Theory reveal happened. Then we got a 24/7 title match. Reggie versus Cedric Alexander. And I'm like, sucks to be Cedric Alexander. He's going to like lose, or he might win it and then trade it around a lot and Reggie gets it back. I've seen this episode. Cedric's name bar, by the way, had the Hurt Business on the top.
Yeah, apparently they are still a faction. I don't believe you.
Cedric won very quickly. I was like, okay, well, okay. Here comes the carnival. Here's the circus. The undercard run down, presumably because there's no egg to find anymore. They literally went from egg to 24/7 title like that.
That's what the job squad are there. Also, did it really... I mean, I think we know why they lost their tag titles. Rhea Ripley was part of the job squads.
Initially,
looking for the... Why was Ripley there? She can't get the title shot.
Yeah. But then Dana Brooke beat Cedric. And then all the guys in the ring were like, oh, can't do that anymore. Can't beat up a woman.
I don't want to be cancelled here.
And then Dana Brooke walked off with it. So she's now the 24/7 champion, whatever. If I'm Reggie, I'm worried because he's not really a wrestler. Do they just keep him round for the 24/7 title bits?
He'll just win it back next week.
But then, like, I'll skip ahead to this. A few segments later, Dana Brooke is backstage. She gets an interview and she cuts a sincere promo about how much this means to her, how hard she's been working. It's time to show the world who she is. Natalia, after this, has posted a tweet about she's been working so hard. Like, this is great for women, the women's division. All of us backstage in the locker room were applauding her. It's the 24/7 title.
Apparently, they were all waiting for her in Gorilla when she came back so they could all celebrate together that she, because this is her first title win in WWE. And I'm sure they had a lovely time, but how ingrained are you in this system that you think the 24/7 title means anything? Like that is worth the applause and Natty's post and that promo. It's the 24/7, it's a joke. This was once used to hide Drake Maverick's knob because he was going to sex his wife and then R-Truth interrupted.
Gonna sex my wife.
This is not a serious... She didn't win the title at WrestleMania.
No.
She won the 24/7 title in a joke.
Yes.
And they're like, oh man, what an inspiration. how ingrained are you in this company? This is like, this is proper, like, what do they call it? Stockholm syndrome, where you now think that this is a good thing.
I also don't think it helps the message that, you know, I sincerely, it's a lovely story that Dana Brooke, it's a joke title, but whatever. Hey, yeah, and they can have a celebration.
This means something to me, this title.
Yeah, and backstage, treat it as such, even on Twitter, I guess. But to cut that kind of promo on TV, and maybe I'm reading it wrong, maybe it is a really well done joke, but it didn't come across like that. So what I mean, obviously I'm not a woman, but I felt patronized on women's behalf.
Yeah, I didn't get on with this much at all. I couldn't give a single friend about the 24/7 picture.
Poor Dana Brooke.
Yeah. But was it Dana Brooke, though?
Oh, I don't know. She looked at, by the end of the promo, and she looked into the camera. I was like, you've changed your face again.
Yeah. I think this is the seventh Dana Brooke now that we've had since she debuted in NXT.
I don't, but like Becky Lynch, for instance, she changes her hair, she changes her look, but I always know it's Becky Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Dana Brooke looks like different people sometimes.
You know how like Charlotte Flair doesn't always look like Charlotte Flair in her promo pictures because they Photoshop
but
with Lynch.
That's a Photoshop
thing. That's
what
I was going to say, like that's a Photoshop thing. Dana Brooke is like the real life Photoshop thing that they do with Charlotte Flair.
Fascinating. After that, we got Bobby Lashley taking on both Rey and Dominic Mysterio.
Carmella's also from New York as well, didn't he get
the Princess of Staten Island.
Yeah, forgot about that.
So Bobby makes his entrance like 20 segments ago. He's in the ring still.
God, it's such a bad show to watch live. Cannot tell you. Honestly, cannot tell you how bad it is. Because it really did feel like it was a... I forgot that he made his way to the ring. Mm. It was that long.
Oh, yeah, Bobby's there.
Yeah, he was.
MVP, to his credit, who always tries to make the most of what he's got, cut a promo on saying like, hey, look, you know, when you go back to your wife, Angie, tonight, and she's angry with you for your son getting beaten up, give her my number, pal.
Oh.
I was like, oh, he's going to have sex with your wife.
He's going to do a sex.
Oh. But yeah, this was just fundamentally idiotic because you had two baby faces having the numbers advantage on Bobby Lashley. I know Bobby Lashley's been presented as such a big, muscly man who eats kids, and the Mysterios have been the complete opposite almost. They're legacy jobbers by this point. But still, it still feels weird. I can't get into a story where the babyfaces are trying to tell a babyface story but win with multiple people.
I mean, in fairness, apparently someone told me this on Twitter. I forgot I said this. I predicted this match last week.
Oh my God.
I said it would be a 2-on-1 handicap match. And yeah, a good match though.
I didn't get into it.
Yeah, I mean, I by this point I was very much done watching this show. But yeah, like, you know, it was a decently well worked match. I really like watching Rey and Bobby work together. I think they've actually got really good chemistry together. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean much. And because there was no Adam Pearce involvement, I don't really know where the storyline is going.
And Bobby won.
I guess Pearce is busy because he was doing egg stuff.
Yeah. Bobby won, so what's the point? This is when we got Becky Lynch crashing Liv Morgan's interview. I both really like this and don't like this, because Becky had some awesome lines. She was like, you should be champion by now. You've embarrassed your friends who aren't even here anymore.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Riot Squad. But then Liv just started crying.
And Becky was like, are you going to cry now? Are you really going to cry? You're crying now, are you? Or you're crying now? And then Liv smacked her in the face. I thought it was pretty good. I thought Liv's performance was quite good. She came off quite likable. You know, I felt bad for her because the bully was kind of like saying, problem was the bully was also right.
Technically impressive that she cried on cue. But I don't really want my baby faces to cry in these scenarios. It's kind of like Seth Rollins cowering from The Fiend back in the day.
Oh, God.
I don't think that helped him one bit.
No, that's a good point.
And when you've got a very big uphill struggle to get cheered against Becky because everyone likes her as a babyface, I think this was a bad decision.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, overall, I do agree with you, but I think that.
But who cares?
But you know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
But I thought Liv had a very good performance. I thought Becky had a very good promo. So, you know, there's thumbs up to be had from there. Ultimately, I don't care.
Ultimately, fundamentally disagree with what they did. But stuff happened on screen and it was competent. Damien Priest.
In the tree above that, I don't care.
Yeah. Damien Priest came out. He had an open challenge. Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz answered, but then said they didn't answer. So Sami Zayn answered. They had a match. Priest won.
I don't know what... I mean, I guess Crews and Priest, that's the next program direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely. So, they set that up 3 weeks ago and then didn't do anything with it. Yeah. Apollo and Aziz came out after a Priest match and went... And then we saw nothing of them after that.
God, I don't remember that at all. I guess
maybe you were off.
I guess Survivor Series got in the way. Cool. Crews versus Priest. I'm sure that would be grand.
Whatever.
Yeah. At least we got a SmackDown star wrestling on this show that wasn't Natty in someone's corner. So having all stars of Raw and SmackDown on the same show finally did come to
what
some
a selling
fruition.
Point. Do you think Damian Priest is a heel?
No, I think they gave him the from New York set, like treatment. So I do think that he is a babyface in this. And hey, at least he got a win because it's better than him losing by DQ at Survivor Series.
Yes. Yeah, he generally is well protected. Do like Priest. Okay, well, that's the show. I 2 out of 5 because there was nothing terrible. You know, like I said last week with AEW, I'm only going to give it 5 out of 5 if it's an all-time great, memorable episode with like everything's on fire, nothing's bad. It's the same with the 1 out of 5 for Raw. I'm only going to give it the 1 out of 5 if it's the goddamn worst. And in the grand scheme of things, this was just boring compared to the rest of this year, which was terrible.
No, I do agree with you on that one because, like, I was excited about the egg stuff because I wanted it to be wacky nonsense, and it wasn't. And that really was, like, they dropped the egg, I will say.
Egg on their face.
But, man. I mean, watching it live, it is a 1 out of 5 show because I cannot figure out the 1.3 million that do this every single week. And when I say 1.3, those are the people that watch all 3 hours. I cannot figure that out because it's dreadful television and it's horrible to watch 3 hours of it. I would not wish it upon anyone.
No.
So it's a 1 out of 5 show live. If you're watching it on replay, though, where you can skip the ad breaks and skip the recaps and stuff, 2 out of 5 is a bit boring. However, though, the community poll, 1 out of 5.
Wow.
49% gave it 1 out of 5. 21% gave it 2 out of 5. 22% 3 out of 5. But that is half of the votes gave it 1 out of 5.
Skews pretty low there.
Very.
Usually we'd say, like, the wrestling... At least there were a couple of good matches because the wrestlers generally have, you know, that's good. But there wasn't even that on this show.
No.
Very bad. Let's see what you have to say in the Ultra Chats, wrestletalk.com/support. Get them in. Vandalion 1990.
Whoa. There's Patreon shout-outs to leave first. And he set it up. Oh, there's now the Hall of Fame music. It's back.
I can't hear it.
Well, no, we can't hear it. But I tested it.
Early. Sounds fantastic. Wow.
So Patreon this week, patreon.com/WrestleTalk. The brand new series, brand new season of Wrestle League has begun. I won the last one, which is why I am not only the Jam That Champion, but I'm also getting to name my contender for the championship come the Royal Rumble, which will actually be the end of the next season. Not only that, at the end of this week, you and I are recording our review of Survivor Series 2002.
Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot which
one. I thought I watched the wrong show then.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't remember which one it was. 2002. Yeah, so we're recording that at the end of this week.
Scott Steiner's debut. First ever Elimination Chamber match.
Possibly even tomorrow, if you've got some time?
I doubt it.
Oh no, I'm off tomorrow, can't
do. Yeah.
Maybe on Thursday. But anyway, so that'll be coming, I'll probably be dropping into your RSS feeds on Monday next week.
But for now, a wonderful $25 a month or more, Patreons. The mayor of Painesville, Dan.
I can take some kind of bump, Aaron. We don't have to do the claps anymore because we've now got music.
Oh, yeah. They're crazy Nut Baron.
Ross Hooper Scooper Cooper.
The man with the scoops, Sean.
WrestleTalk's personal problem solver, Jamie Donovan.
He's got two first names, Matt Howard.
More than the sum of his parts, Misha Sumra.
David Lucasfilm.
What's love got to do with it, Matthew Turner.
Par for the course, Zarjeeth.
And lastly for this Hall of Fame class on the 23rd of November 2021, Tower of London, Nigel Morris.
Let's get into your Ultra Chats then. Vandalia 1998. Next week, the Egg will be 24/7 champion and Beer 52 will be Jam That Champion beating Luke.
I can't put
That's a great branded integration.
Put the title on the landing against Beer 52, the brand itself.
Just be sitting here. Turn the Jam That Championship into the Iron Man heavy metal weight.
I mean, in all fairness, you know, the lads from Beer 52 are wrestling fans, so we could have them on a show.
Kevin May, I'm grumpy, so here we go. WWE's slogan should be, look what you made me do. Video packages aside, the production is bloody awful, amateurish and shoddy, and a storyline based around an egg, WrestleTalk is amazing.
Well, thank you very much.
The egg was great.
But we did say this in the office earlier. Was the egg actually good, or did we just have fun watching it because it was the four of us watching wrestling together?
Yeah, probably the latter. I'm going to rattle through these. Riot DR, Seth Rollins' music is now over with the crowd. The word chance was quite fun throughout the night. Fantastic. By the way, do any of you remember the Hanna-Barbera cartoon, The Hillbilly Bears? Vince McMahon now sounds like Paw Bear. Oh, I don't.
Vince McMahon's voice, though. You put it perfectly in the review. Vince McMahon has always hated having old people on his screens. That's why Howard Finkel was let go by the company from doing that job at the age of 34, and he now is just like he looks like a mummy.
Yeah,
and he comes up with his drawn on eyebrows. I don't really know what I'm saying.
Ket, do you guys think Big E feels like a mid-card champion? Not saying he shouldn't be the top champion, but I don't buy into him as the top guy, mainly because they just hotshot the title on him without building him as a top guy prior to him cashing in.
But Ket, he had money in the bank. That's a push.
I totally agree, though. BL Dog, I actually did watch it live. I was asleep by the end of the Riddle match. Thanks, WWE. Better than melatonin. The Bad One Jam Beard. Best part of Raw was the fightful after show when Sean Ross Sapp confused Denise and then she went on to search on Google and Pornhub for step host and not understanding anything about what it was while Sean couldn't stop laughing. Raw is bad.
I felt so bad for Denise in all of this. So what happened was is that like she started getting called step host instead of like stepsister and stepbrother like that. So she thought that step host was a brand of porn. So she was going on Pornhub and she was trying to find it in there. But Sean wouldn't tell her that it was a term that they had just invented there and then. So then she was just like, there's lots of stepbrother and stepsister and stepmom, but there's no like step host stuff. Eventually Sean did get it. But even then, like Denise just was not getting it.
I don't get the thing for the step stuff. I never had a step sibling.
I guess that's what it is. It's popular in, because Pornhub released that the map every year that shows like, you know, the top porn trends. It's popular in certain states.
Zooey Sung. Becky buries the entire division and they make Liv look like a dork, whereas a comedy when watching with a group by yourself is punishment.
Yeah, it is.
The egg stuff was really dumb. I'm Generation Z, and get called a millennial all the time. You get used to it. But if I'm the reason WWE Women's Division is in shambles, I apologise. It's your fault no one went to see The Last Duel, Zoe.
Yeah. So they keep blaming us for it.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan. For the Raw review, last night on Wrestling Daily, Sat and SP3 started the revolution. It's time to open the forbidden door, Luke and Ollie.
It's weird. A lot of people didn't seem to watch the show that I did, where I did say that I would defend the belt against Sat. If I became champion again, I would defend it against him. People are now like, now it's time for you to open that forbidden door. I was like, hey, I opened it ages ago.
Let Wrestling Daily enter Wrestle League and challenge for the championship, please. Well, they should certainly be added to the office Wrestle League, shouldn't they? Nicholas Lama, sponsor Cam for Jam That Championship. After Luke's record-breaking run, of course, you guys should gift the old championship belt to Vince and see if you get a whodunit storyline.
Good idea.
It's worth upwards of £300. But then we put the sticker on it. So it's probably worth upwards of £95. Some Chinese characters. I don't know what they are. I think I might start a petition for the long-awaited Big Apple takedown, moving from After Dark to the Raw Review.
I mean, we probably should, now that we're back in the office, pick that up again. I can't remember a single thing that happened in that book.
I think Tori Wilson had just tried to seduce a guy to get his hard drive in his house, but was almost spotted by fans outside the house.
I'm pretty sure that was ages ago.
That's the last thing I remember.
And Triple H was right, and he foresaw everything that was coming.
Benjamin John Milne, am I the only one who hears Robbie Rotten whenever Luke does his Vince impression? It's uncanny.
Robbie Rotten, I think, was from Lazy Town?
Don't know. Tem Ruzza, hey guys, back again after a bit of a break. Here's some of my terrible Australian dollars. Off topic today, guys. Saw the 007 film tonight and was a mixed emotions ride. Do you love the 007 franchise and which film is your favourite?
Controversially, I'm not the biggest Bond fan, and the Bond films that I like are the wackier Roger Moore Bond movies. Like, I was like, oh god, I can't believe Bond went to space. I'm like, I can't believe he'd go to space more often. those are way more fun movies. I'm an Adam and Joe position on this, where it's like, I want him to have very silly gadgets. That's my Bond.
You Only Live Twice, for me. Sean Connery, the bad guy, has a secret base in a mountain. In a volcano,
that's,
I think.
That's what I want. That's exactly the sort of Bond that I want.
Sean, thanks for donating. Thanks for watching it as I do as well live in the UK. You're welcome, Sean.
52.
And William Tocci Jr., Dana Brooke winning the 24/7 title is WWE's answer to Jordan Grace being Impact Social Media Champion.
William, I don't think so.
I don't think they're aware that's a thing.
I don't think that WWE know who Jordan Grace is, let alone that they have a title that is for intergender wrestling.
They should do, because she's awesome.
She is awesome.
But that's all we've got time for today's show. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Go over there, UK viewers only, because you can get yourself 10 free craft beers. And this one's delicious. The sponsor cam's cut out again.
Hold on.
Maybe we need to gaffer tape that cable in. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. 10 free craft beers. UK viewers only. You only have to pay £5.95 for the postage and packaging. Yeah, it's a lot lighter than the other one. But
I've got to run the stream deck, and I had to do a clap then, and that was particularly difficult.
It's going to be limiting in movement.
It is. Oh, not the microphone. Do you want to quickly talk about your punishment video though, that you were just recording?
Well, yeah, it's R-Truth's What's Up. Of course, I recorded the bulk of it last week, but I needed to do the green screen parts today. And I did the green screen parts today. It's a low energy rap. The rap has the N-word in 3 times. So I just manned up and said it.
What's up?
What's up? No, I didn't. Of course I didn't. It's not my word to say. And people who go, well, some people say it. I'm like, you're misjudging society, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's not cool.
It's not cool to say.
Rap music, fine.
I would assume the argument is it's their culture.
Yeah, it's like
it's not my culture to step into and be like, now I'm going to say it as well. I'm not Quentin Tarantino in this scenario who loves saying it.
Yeah, that uses it as punctuation. But yeah, I did it, and hopefully it'll be ready by the end of the week.
I mean, I got to see a bit of it being recorded because I was manning the prompter for you.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrific.
Because it's...
the rapping is not me manning the prompter.
You're too kind. It won't be. You were good. We had to start and stop so many times.
Well, no, but that's...
The cadence was off.
That's the beauty of editing.
Yeah,
but
I hope
also,
so.
Like, you know, we go back to this again. They're not meant to be good.
I know.
They're meant to be a bit naff.
I think this one will be better than Fozzy just because it's got some gimmicks in.
Fozzy had plenty of gimmicks, though.
Yeah, but different kind of gimmicks.
And I mean the band as well, as opposed to just singing. Right, should we wrap this
we
up?
We better, yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening. Tempest and that loser Pete, possibly two losers, will be on the show tomorrow doing the NXT review. Ollie and I will be back on Thursday with the AEW podcast. Then on Friday, it's me and Denise. But it may not be Denise. I need to talk to her about that because we may do something about 2K22, in which case, not really the show for Denise. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.